Welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shop. Yay. One of the last things Christ did before he went to the cross was he had a Passover meal with his disciples in the upper room. It's what most of us refer to as the Last Supper. This is where the first communion ever took place. What some of you may not know is that there is a beautiful correlation between communion and the Galilean wedding ceremony. So that is our topic for today. Aren't you excited?
Yes.
This is going to be an amazing episode. And I know, Charisse, you did a ton of research on the Galilean wedding ceremony and how it correlates with communion.
Yeah, it started with, at our church, every Sunday we do communion, and some of the men of the church and others have a small meditation that they'll do every Sunday to, you know, lead us into it and reflective.
Right.
And my buddy Josh, shout out, he did this, a little synopsis of the wedding betrothal, the Galilean wedding. And the whole time I'm sitting there leaning and listening, going, why have I never heard this before in my life?
I got to point out super quick that for somebody that might be really new to Jesus and doesn't know what the word Galilean means, Galilee was a place, and the Jews from there were Galilean Jews. So Galilean Judaism would have been more the Jesus Jewish system.
Right,
continue.
Right, for sure. So when he did that, and then we were talking about, let's do some shows, let's do a communion show, I went, ooh, I got a good topic. So I'd gotten with him a little bit and then started doing some other research, which just took it even deeper down the rabbit hole. And I mean, even yesterday in our office, I'm like, Catherine, do you understand what this means? Do you see the type and shadow? So it was really cool. It's been really mind-opening and just the beauty of communion anyway, and seeing the type and shadow with this ceremony, it's unbelievable. I think everybody's going to, I hope everybody is excited as I am.
And waiting. So I know that Donna has talked about this. You talk about the Afikoman and how it was the symbolisticness of what communion then became before communion even happened.
Yeah.
Tell us about the Afikoman and then we will get back to the Galilean betrothal and all of that stuff.
The Afikoman was actually communion before communion.
Okay.
So what the Jews did, and this was for centuries prior to Christ and for centuries following Christ, there was three pieces of matzah, or matzat, plural, that were put into this white linen bag, either bag or folded, and they were given to the father at the beginning of the Passover Seder meal. Now, he would take the middle one out, and he would break it. There were three matzah crackers in this. He would take the middle one out and he would break it. And then he would hide that in a piece of white linen and have it hidden in the house somewhere. And that at the end of Passover Seder, the whole group of children from the household would be sent to go find the Afikoman cracker. Then they would be brought back to the father in exchange for a ransom. The ransom could be candy, money, whatever, a prize that would be exchanged. And then the father would take this Afikoman cracker once it had been found and break it into as many pieces as there were people in the household.
Okay.
And everybody would get a piece and they would partake of it in looking forward to the coming Messiah. Now, the word Afikoman in the ancient Judaic system meant that which is coming.
Okay.
So in reference to the Messiah, he who is yet to come.
Right.
Now then, when Jesus came, etymologically, meaning the research on the origin of words, that word shifted and then became that which has come, or he who has come. And that is why later on, when certain religious leaders in the Jewish church wanted to squash the idea that Jesus had come, and they were trying to shut that down, they said that the word Afikoman, which now at this time in culture meant he who has come, later, that word means something that comes at the end. So now they say it means dessert, because dessert comes at the end. Because if you're out there and you're going to look up the word Afikoman, A-F-Akoman, I-K-O-M-E-N, that you're going to find out that the Jews believe that that word means dessert, but the Christians believe that word means Messiah. That's how we jump from dessert to Messiah, because that is a wild leap.
Oh, I'm telling you.
But let me explain the symbolism very briefly. The middle cracker It's the second member of the Trinity. The Jews were breaking this cracker as Jesus' body was broken for them way before Jesus was ever even born.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they were hiding it in the white linen just as Jesus' body was hidden in the white linen, and they hide it somewhere dark just as Jesus was taken to somewhere dark. And I can't get into the depth of all of this, but I will tell you, this goes deep.
Yeah.
Oh, this goes deep with what the Jews at the time were saying. No, that cracker didn't mean that. It meant something else. And there was a whole huge religious cover up. And that's why the church today does not know that before it was communion, it was the officoman ritual. Mm. Now Jesus came.
Yes.
And if you read the night of Last Supper and what he did at his own Passover Seder, you see this moment where Jesus takes and breaks the bread and hands it to them and says, this is my body.
Yeah.
Mm.
This is a moment we lose because we don't understand the culture in that day and what the Jews were doing. But that's the moment that if Jesus had not been the Messiah, he being the father figure, the master of the Seder, would have broken it and said, go hide this. We're going to look for it later as a nod to the coming someday Messiah. But he didn't.
Right.
He broke it and he just stuck
handed
it out
it
there
out.
And said, this is my body. We don't realize that this officoman ritual that he did, he rebranded it in an instant. And what he did was he said, your Messiah has come. I am here. So when we partake of communion, we are actually partaking of the shifted version of the officoman ritual. And we are seeing in this moment that he said, this is my body, which is broken for you, that he is telling them, do this in remembrance of me. Mm-hmm. No longer are you looking forward to a someday coming Messiah.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm coming. I am going to die for you tomorrow. My body is broken for you. My blood is shed for you. We miss all of this when we don't understand what the ritual was to the Jews in the beginning.
Yeah,
That's really
for
good.
Sure. So Matthew 26:29, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so communion in the Galilean wedding ritual, you know, the obvious interpretation of him saying that is that, you know, he's going to go away, but it's also a direct appeal to his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Culture is huge. You can't,
you
know, 2/3 of the Gospels took place in Galilee in a small strip. So their culture, they were really deeply ingrained in. When he's telling them this scripture at the Last Supper, we call it a scripture, he's talking to them. when he says that to them, they understand it so deeply because of this cultural practice. So the betrothal, the wedding, was the most important cultural event that took place in Galilee by far with anything that they ever did.
Okay.
It was huge. So on the day of a betrothal, work would stop, businesses would stop. Everybody would run to the gate where the fathers were to witness what was happening with the betrothal. It didn't necessarily have to be family members or didn't necessarily have to be friends of the betrothed couple.
But it was an event. So
it was a huge
event. Everybody flocked to see what was happening.
So witnesses, you have to have witnesses to make a covenant legal. Okay. So this is so good. The father of the groom would read aloud a covenant that was legally binding. And this would take place at the gate. And there's so many people just hanging out, just listening to the covenant and watching this beautiful event. What's eye-opening about the cultural difference is in Galilee, the bride was able to exercise her free will and decide if she would accept the proposal of the groom, which there is no other Middle Eastern Jewish culture that allows that. It is just what it is.
It's just you're told this is who you're going to marry, and it's an arranged marriage, whether they want it or not.
Yeah, that's exactly. And typically, culturally, then, for those other outside of Galilee, it was the father of the groom, the father of the bride that would make the deal.
Right.
But this is not how theirs works.
So there's already correlation.
Already correlation.
The
absolutely.
Bride has a choice.
You have a choice. Yeah, you can choose to accept it or not. So there was a ceremonial cup that would be poured with wine, and that's called the cup of joy, which is precious. And it would be poured by the groom. So the groom would pour it,
I love it.
And he would hold it so respectfully with two hands, and he would pass it to the bride. And in that moment, she has the opportunity to either take it or not to. And if she doesn't, the contract is null and void.
Hmm.
She has that final authority, which is crazy to me.
Well, especially in a culture where women,
oh, for sure,
really weren't given choices.
Right,
you weren't
for sure.
elevated. You couldn't do anything without your father or your husband.
Right, exactly.
So for them to say,
it's on,
you
up to her
are
to
allowed to choose.
Yeah,
that's huge. Incredible.
Imagine how vulnerable that would have been for the man to feel. Okay, here it goes.
Well, that's what mm-hmm. it talks about is how he would reverently and yeah. fearfully give her the cup because he knows it's her.
If her
she,
choice.
Yeah, her choice. And if she accepted it and drank of the cup, the groom then would drink after her, and he would announce the new covenant that he would not drink from the cup again until they
goodness.
Were back together.
Goosebumps.
I'm telling you, it's so, it just, yeah.
Ooh.
Which is the exact same thing in Matthew 24.
Wow.
If you look in Matthew, that's why you never see the disciples ask him, why are you coming back? They never ask why.
Yeah.
They only ask when.
When?
When are you coming back? Because they knew.
They already understood.
They knew they understood.
Mm. Well, and they understood because of the Ophicomen.
Yes.
He was confirming to them yet again, I am your Messiah.
Yes.
I am the one that you've been waiting for.
Yes.
And then same with the wine.
Absolutely.
He took it in the same way as the wedding ceremony with that new covenant saying, this is my blood, drink.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
It is. So after this betrothal ceremony, the couple would separate. Now, they're legally, covenantly married at this point, okay? But they would separate for about a year. And in that year's time, the groom would go away. But the groom had a duty to prepare a place for his bride by adding on rooms mm-hmm. to his father's house. Okay. What does that sound like? So he would build furniture. He would be securing food and livestock and purchase anything that the home needed to make that home ready for her. Okay. So I want to read in John, and this is not necessarily the version that I study out of, but I liked this translation's. My father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly because I go to prepare a place for you. Ooh. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I'm going. So until that time, the bride and her bridesmaids had a year to prepare for the wedding garments because, you know, you and I were talking yesterday, mm-hmm. building a house and furniture, that's probably going to take some time. Because it's easy for us to think about, well, she just needs to go shop for a gown. That's not exactly how that works, you know. Because Galilee, you know, you would have to wait for the fine linens and lace and the things that would make your gown and your bridesmaids' gowns, right? So after a year, give or take,
mm-hmm.
And the groom had completed his preparation, he would present his work to his father, who would approve. Then the father would tell the groom to wait for the right time to get the bride. Only the father of the groom knew the day and the hour that wedding was going to take place, that coming back together was going to take place.
Man, oh man, this is good.
Know,
isn't
right?
it good? So once the father decided the wedding chamber was complete and ready,
I love this.
He would signal to his son that it's time to go get his bride. The father was the one who read aloud the agreement. At the betrothal, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And provided the dowry to the bride's father should anything happen to the groom, kind of like a trust fund she'd be taken mm-hmm. care of. So in all other Middle Eastern cultures, Jewish, Arab, all of them, they all know, everybody in the wedding party knows, everybody in the family, they mm-hmm. know the date and the time. It's kind of like our save the dates that we do, you know, here. Galileans focused on the preparations for the wedding, not the date.
Right.
Which was like mind-blowing to me, mm-hmm. preparing for Christ to come back.
Yeah.
You know? As you're saying that, as I'm sitting here thinking, they are all saying, any minute, when's this thing going to happen?
Yep. Uh-huh.
When are we going to be reunited?
Yep.
Any minute, any minute, any minute. And I'm sitting here going, when is Jesus coming back? Any minute,
any minute.
Yes, but the bride never goes, oh, he's never coming back.
No, right. No,
well, the faithful bride never says that.
She knows he's coming.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's the one.
The faithful bride wouldn't question
he is
it.
Coming.
And she's preparing. She's Woo. Waiting. So in ancient Galilee.
Good.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. So in ancient Galilee, the hour was always in the middle of the night. It was never during the day. And some scholars, between midnight and 4 a.m., kind of, on purpose, never in the light of day. Jesus told the disciples that he would return like a thief in the night, right? And that they needed to be warned, you got to be ready, stay ready, be ready, yep. Stay ready.
Wow.
So the bridegroom, they probably all slept in the same room together, the bridegroom and his father and, you know, his, who would ever stand with him at the ceremony. He would have a shofar, right? So it's like a trumpet that he would blow. Right?
So good.
It is so good. And whenever the father would tell him the time has come, they would all get up, go out into the streets with the shofar, blow the shofar, making noise, trying to wake the people in the town, letting them know, it's coming. I'm coming. I'm here.
It's time to get this party started.
Yeah, exactly. So what would happen was the bride and her party, during, you know, that time, they would literally sleep in their gowns. They would sleep in their wedding attire.
Wow.
Waiting for their bridegroom. When they would be blowing the shofars and coming down the streets, the bride and her bridesmaids would be outside of her home, mm-hmm. kind of in a line. And you can picture in the theater of the mind these men and all these people of the town coming and waiting. And then all of a sudden, he meets her eyes. Oh, my goodness. Okay, sorry. So once the bride and groom's eyes would meet, the father would show the covenant contract in his hand. And the bridegroom would walk his bride over to a type of chair. And I believe it's called a litter, but I'm not for sure. But it's a type of chair that it would allow her to sit and be raised mm-hmm. up. She did not walk to the ceremony. Now, Galileans call this the flying of the bride to the father's God. House. Right? So where the wedding feast was. So what a type and shadow of our rapture.
Or we're carried up.
What? Yes.
Flying.
Here we go. The wedding feast would start immediately. Guests would also be ready at a moment's notice that they would hear the celebration and flock to the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
After the house was full, the doors would be shut. And nobody else could come or go for 7 days. Hmm. Now, you can imagine that the people who were a little sleepy or lazy or didn't quite get to the front of the line, once that door was shut, they didn't get in.
Oh, wow.
They didn't get in, which is more type and shadow, right?
Yes. Sure.
Absolutely. Matthew 25, parable of, mm-hmm. of, you know, the 10 virgins mm-hmm. and the 5 that were ill-prepared and didn't have enough oil for the lamps. Oil always represents the Holy Spirit.
Yep, every time.
And so these 5 foolish, drowsy virgins missed the bridegroom's appearance and never know the day or hour he'll appear, right? So the synopsis basically is that the Last Supper was the official betrothal of the disciples to the bridegroom. And it also signifies his impending return. You know, communion for me growing up, when I was young, very young, the church that we attended, they only did communion once a year. And we did it on Good Friday. And the way and the manner, I think, that it's kind of like etched on the slate of my soul that they did it just seated in me the absolute reverence of the event. You know, we all knew, even children, we knew, you know, we'd drive into the parking lot of the church. Nobody talked in the parking lot. Nobody said anything to anybody. When we went into the sanctuary was completely dark, with the exception of there was some sconces on the wall that kind of mimicked candlelight. And the pastor was the only one that said anything. And so just the heaviness of my sin versus his redemption, it just overwhelmed me. So when we started talking about doing, you know, something on communion, I was like, yes. You know, it's so good.
It is so good. And I think a lot of people don't know that part of it, which when she was telling me about it, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so fascinating. The correlation after correlation after correlation.
Type and shadow, type and shadow, type and shadow.
And the fact that Jesus was from Galilee.
Yeah.
as were his disciples. Absolutely. So they knew without a shadow of a doubt, because even when he was speaking in parables,
yep.
their culture was so intertwined with that they knew exactly what he meant.
Yep.
Without a doubt, they knew what he meant. It's just incredible to think about.
It is. You can't take the culture out of it at all.
No, and there again, so many times, if you don't live in that culture,
right.
you don't know some of the nuances. Yeah. Like, I remember when Zev Porat was here, and him and Carl had been mm-hmm. talking, and they told the story of when they were traveling around together, and Carl had mentioned, that's just a little lazy town. And Zev, because he doesn't live in this country, right. he doesn't know what a lazy town means. He's like, because then he's like thinking about it, oh, does that mean everybody doesn't work and they just sit around all day? It's like, no. It just means that it's a really casual, but because he doesn't understand
that.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's so many nuances, mm-hmm. I think, that we miss because that wasn't our culture.
Oh, I'm telling
you. You know,
yeah.
it's just incredible. We do need to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you one of those girls that struggle trying to find the right clothes to wear? Or maybe you're still grappling to achieve that perfect makeup look that suits your style? Well, blossom into a new you this spring season with the Simply His Spring Bundle and receive Candace Cameron Bure's book, Staying Stylish. Discover new ideas to elevate your personal style and closet without breaking the bank. Insider secrets for gorgeous skin, hair, and makeup with easy-to-follow tutorials. Find on-the-go strategies for staying fit and eating well, and personal inspiration for nurturing your faith and finding balance, plus so much more. Start that spring cleaning with a boost from our fairly traded, certified organic, lightly roasted Island Girl coffee. This Costa Rican coffee was named by our wonderful Simply His host, Catherine, who says one sip of this coffee has her stepping back in time to her childhood growing up on the islands as a missionary kid. Also included in this package is another one of our host's favorite picks, our Simply His ceramic mug in a beautiful spring shade of purple. And lastly, enjoy a warm spring day with the new Simply His Southern Peach Tea. This fully organic, herbicide and pesticide-free loose-leaf tea is a refreshing cup of happiness and is sure to have you relaxing while you watch those gorgeous gardens grow. The Simply His Spring Bundle is available now. With a retail value of over $50, yours now for only $40 plus shipping and handling? Get yours today at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985. Don't miss out!
Welcome back. This conversation on communion is incredibly amazing and beautiful. I had no idea on some of this until you started telling me about it when we were getting ready for this show.
So exciting.
The correlations are just insane. I know, Donna, you were talking about something on the break.
Yeah, we'll... what was going through my mind, you know, you were talking about the lifting of the bride and the carrying her. Mm-hmm. What goes into my mind, okay, we do that even to this day. The groom is bringing the bride over the threshold. Here's the thing. That actually goes back to the very, very earliest form of worship at the altar and covenantal practice. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, people, they think of a covenant and an altar, and they think, you know, like a church or whatever. But before there were churches, before even anybody built anything out of a stone and called it an altar, there were threshold covenants.
Yeah.
The lamb, as far back as Egypt, and a lot of people do not know that what happened that night in Egypt, mm-hmm. the night that the angel of death passed over Israel, that what actually happened was the lamb was slain on the actual threshold. Mm. It wasn't in a basin. That explanation does exist. I don't have time to get into it. But the word basin at the time, it meant threshold. There's a Hebrew word, it means threshold. The lambs were slain on the threshold, and then, of course, the blood came around the door. And this particular thing, if somebody were to step on the blood after the blood had been slain on the threshold, they trampled and therefore cut off
oh.
and considered void the covenant. That's why we, in Hebrews, we get how much more so is this guy going to be in big trouble if he tramples the blood of the covenant.
Right.
And that is known on the threshold. And of course, Jesus postulates himself as the threshold when he says, mm-hmm. I am the door, the way.
Yes.
There's all these connections, right? Yeah. And so Jesus is the threshold. And when you carry your bride up over the threshold, it's so cute that men like today, they're kind of stumbling around because they're not used to it. And they're like, you know, trampling the threshold on the way in, symbolically having no idea that that just completely voided everything that they just promised to do. But it's cute. That's not something that they're even aware of. So I'm not picking on them. But that threshold covenant, the carrying of the bride over the door, goes all the way back to Egypt when the original threshold covenant, the Passover, foreshadowed what Jesus then
was going to do.
Fulfilled when he came and he became the door, the threshold through which all covenants will be made complete.
Right.
And so when you're talking about the bride being lifted up and flying over, it's all connected. There's even the threshold covenant side of this. And
I couldn't stop yesterday. I'm like, Catherine, do you realize? I can listen to this. You know,
it's good stuff.
Fangirling over communion. Yeah.
I'm glad I have these notes because now I'm taking notes on my notes. It's all good. For the last few weeks, I've been just writing stuff down. I love the binding of the word because this what we've discovered today lets me know that God's word is. It's not a dream.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He said it.
Absolutely.
And he will do it and already has done it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And when he said he's coming back, he's coming back.
He is coming back.
I don't got to worry about that. I don't have to wonder. I'm not going to be the townsfolk going, no wonder.
Yeah.
I already know he's coming.
Amen.
So what are we doing to wait?
Yeah.
That's the question.
And the fact that he's coming like a thief in the night means literally any moment.
Yep.
Don't just get ready and then forget.
Yeah.
Live ready always.
Right. Yeah.
Sleep with that bridal outfit.
Like the brides, you have to live in your wedding clothes. Keep on your armor of God all the time.
Yeah.
Keep it on. What beautiful thoughts. Haven't you guys enjoyed this?
Challenges me.
The next time you take communion, remember that God has chosen you to be the bride of Christ.
Yes.
You are chosen, you are called, and you are very, very loved.
Oh, amen.
We will see you next time in the Simply His Coffee Shop.